It's the Martha Bassett Show podcast, coming to you from the historic Reeves Theater in Elkin, North Carolina, a home for music in the heart of the foothills. The Martha Bassett Show features emerging national artists, fresh local faces, and me, Martha Bassett. You can keep up to date on our entire schedule at MarthaBassettShow.com. I hope you enjoy the show.
Want to feel good, to feel fine. Won't be feeling nothing when you run it three times. Spend all my money on fine red wine. Never spend a dime on moonshine. Thick as blood.
This is the Martha Bassett Show podcast. I am Martha Bassett, joined by my co-host, Pat Lawrence.
Hi there. We have a fun show coming up.
Yes, we do. I'm so excited about it.
We have the Blue-Eyed Bettys joining us for this Saturday show.
What I love the most about the Bettys is their tight three-part harmony vocals. We met the Bettys through Robin and Gary, who run Winfield Farm Arboretum.
Also on the show, we have Jeffrey Dean Foster. We had Jeff over to the house, and we did a little bit of an interview for this episode, and we also played some live music, so we'll share that with you. And a little bit of a surprise on the show that we have not advertised much is Presley Barker is returning.
Secret weapon.
Secret weapon, Presley Barker. So
let's listen to a song from the Blue-Eyed Bettys. This is Free.
Up too fast, looking for a well-paid job at last. You settle down in a prefab house with four kids, and every Monday at 7 it's meatloaf again. Well, you got off work too late and you already know your fate. You're peeling back on the wrapper of the lean cuisine. You're cuddling up with Two-Buck Chuck. Don't you wish you were free? Don't you wish you were me? Traveling around with your friends from town to town, singing three-part harmony. Well, it's a white-hot summer's day. You've been sweating your life away, tacking shingles on a politician's house. Who will always vote against you, say? Staring at the computer screen, brother, wasting away your dreams while your boss sends you message after message after message, and she's only 10 feet away.
Oh no!
Don't you wish you were free? Don't you wish you were me? From town to town singing three-part harmony. Don't you wish you were free? Don't you wish you were me? Traveling around with your friends from town to town singing three-part harmony. Well, we've been driving all night long through some road work like Donkey Kong. We'll play a 2-hour set for 6 people, I bet, that we're getting paid in PBR. Well, we haven't been home in 6 weeks, and our Subaru is starting to reek. We're scraping up the coins from underneath the seat, because we're living on pickles and cheese. Now don't you get me wrong, you know we all get along. Traveling round with these fools for so long, it ain't just sunshine and song. Still I'm glad to be free, yes I'm proud to be me. Traveling round with my friends from town to town, singing three-part harmony. Don't you wish you were free? Don't you wish you were me? Traveling round with your friends from town to town, singing three-part harmony. Don't you wish you were free? Don't you wish you were me?
All right.
Traveling round with your friends from town to town, singing three-part harmony.
The Martha Bassett Show is supported in part by Explore Elkin, your one-stop travel source for the Yadkin Valley and beyond. Whether it's music, wineries, festivals, great restaurants, or hiking, let Explore Elkin help you find your trail. Learn more at Facebook, Explore Elkin, and also at visittheyadkinvalley.com.
Jeffrey Dean Foster is one of my favorite songwriters from the region. He has been active in many bands since the 1980s and has had just a huge influence on music in North Carolina and beyond. This is a song of his called Morningside from the record The Arrow.
Lights the water under the bridge downtown.
Thank you.
I've been excited to do this interview because I've known you forever, and I really don't know that much. That, you know, there's a lot I don't know about you.
We've kept it that way. Have to keep some mystique.
Right.
For like people that we're assuming a lot of things, like a lot of people won't know where you're, like you're from here, born and raised.
Born and raised in Winston-Salem, yeah.
And when did the music, like were you a music early or sports early?
I loved music early on.
You were a baseball player,
but I was, I just played all kinds of sports. I played baseball mostly. I mean, I played all the other stuff like basketball and, you know. I played football in the neighborhood, but when it came to organized football, I liked it. I liked watching it, and I liked playing in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But my friends played, you know, the organized stuff, and I was always kind of I didn't really want to do it,
right?
But I was kind of felt like I kind of had to. Mm-hmm. But for the 2 years in a row where I kind of would have been the years where I was started, I got out of it because 1 year I had my appendix taken out roughly around the time you had to try it out. So I was like, I'm cool this year. And the next year I got hit by a car.
Hit by a car?
And so I was good for, I didn't have to play football that year. And by then, you know, I'd already gotten past that. Like, wow. I wasn't a football player. So so I escaped that.
Go back to the hit by a car. Oh, very few people are hit by a car. That's horrific.
Yeah. I was at like my grandmother's house. Yeah, I was on a bike, and I was behind an ice cream truck. So I'm sure if it had been filmed, I'm sure it would have been really like a David Lynch movie or something, because I'm sure there's ice cream music playing.
Were you
so I'm sure it would have been really creepy, too.
Oh, man.
And I was behind the ice cream truck, and there was a lot of kids and families out because they're all getting ice cream. And I remember looking out from the truck, you know, looking both ways, but obviously didn't look back the third time. Uh-huh. And pulled out, and a big four-door just hit me like totally perpendicular. Oh. And I remember looking right across the street, like right when I got hit, I was looking right in the eyes of a woman holding a baby, and she just, her eyes got huge because she was watching it too. And then I went up on the hood of the car and then slid off. And then the driver kind of panicked again and like almost ran over me that time. Like when I went, but as a kid, I think I was 10, 9 or 10. And you know, when you're a kid, when something like that happens, you kind of think you did it, like it's your fault.
Right.
And I remember getting up thinking, I'm good, you know. But then saw my grandmother come running out of the house. And then I looked down and saw how bloody I was and everything. And then I fell down. And then I couldn't get back up, and these men had to come carry me.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't break any bones. I just was
beat up,
and I think this leg was like just like black and blue for a couple months.
Wow.
And I still have a numb spot on my knee right there. Oh. And but it got me out of football for another year. And but I did play baseball forever until into college, and then this stuff around here that I played for this team called the Pond Giants that was at one point was the oldest running baseball team in the country.
Huh.
They'd had a team since like 1911 or something.
And did you start playing guitar when you were young?
I started took lessons when I was like 9 or 10. Uh-huh. Down at Sea Park Music, which was down on 4th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And from this classical teacher named Javier Calderon, who was a big deal at the School of Arts then. And I think he was kind of a big deal in the classical world. But he didn't really teach me anything that I needed to know then, because I wasn't really interested in that. I mean, he was having me grow my fingernails and read the music and play, you know, Old MacDonald Had a Farm, picking it out. And so I just kind of went through the motions and practiced 30 minutes while I was watching Gilligan's Island or whatever. And every day, and for a year and a half or two, and then just didn't do it anymore. But then didn't play again until I was really almost in college, really. Mm-hmm. Whereas, and look back, like, and he was just doing his thing. But if I'd had a teacher that would have shown me how to play like a Creedence Clearwater song or something, right. or a Rolling Stone song, or showed me that, like, okay, if the song's in G, the other chords are probably C and D. You know, those kind of simple things, like these shortcuts that those kind of people don't tell you.
Yeah.
I would have been like, maybe I would have really been on my way. Like, if you know how to play like a Chuck Berry song, and you know you can go like dun da dun da dun da dun da dun, you know.
Yeah.
But so I didn't have that, you know. So then I was just a fan of music for until I was in college. I mean, I was just crazy about listening to the radio, and the radio was great when I was young, you know, and you could hear Al Green next to Roxy Music or whatever, you know. Got in college, some of my friends, just a couple of them, would just stay up at night kind of thinking about having a band, you know, but none of us were really good, really players at all. But we were big fans of, you know, like Springsteen, and Steve Forbert came to our school, and he came the week that his one hit, Romeo's Tune, you know that song? Was the top of as high as it got. So it was like number 7 or something. So he was a legitimate rock star for a week, you know. And he's always been a rock star to me. He's great. But we met him, and he wasn't but a few years older than us. I mean, he was probably 25 and we were 19 or 20. But I got to meet him. Like, the promoter took me in the room, just me and Steve, you know, and we talked for a little bit. And I remember coming out of that show, and we just thought, we can do that. I mean, we didn't know how, but we thought, we can do it. And we just stayed up for, like, we didn't go to school for like a week or two, just like thinking, like, we can do that. And we didn't have any of the skills to do it, really. But Tim Fleming, who was in the right profile, was my he wasn't my roommate, but he was close. And so we just started thinking about it, and I started kind of writing songs. I think just because I thought I could do it, you know, and I couldn't, but you kind of will yourself into it, and then you know before long you're like riding a bike, you know, you fall over a bunch, and you're like, oh, I'm riding, you know. and then we got, you know, eventually got people. Steve Dubner got in the band, and we all just learned as we went, you know. And you know, pretty soon we had a bunch of our songs and learned to kind of do with what we had, you know, because none of us were good players. Like, I was the guitar player pretty much, but I wasn't a good lead guitar player. But we just figured out how to play parts and practiced and played those parts, and we're good live, I think. I mean, some people that must have turned into something, you know. And then it's weird. Then in retrospect, later, once I got a little better at playing, then I would look back and I was like, oh, I do kind of play like that now, like those records that I loved, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's clear. It's a clear line from there to there, you know. Not just what you play, you know, learn to play, because I've never hardly ever sat down and tried to copy something, because I've never had to been in cover bands, and I'm not good at that. But you know, but what you hear on Casey Kasem in 1976, it gets in there pretty deep.
When we started out, I had a few companions. When we started out, I had some confidence. Break down and rust, sitting jacked up in the dust. I'm so lonesome I could almost fly. I'm so lonesome I could almost fly. Gonna take off and burn up in the sky. I'm so lonesome I could almost fly. When we started out, my words flowed like water. When we started out, my
so lonesome I could almost fly. Gonna take off and burn up in the sky. Gonna leave these rusty shoes behind. I'm so
with the Right Profile, Pine Tops. What was in between that? Or
the after the right Profile kind of turned into a band called the Carnies,
mm-hmm.
and it was the same guys minus one plus a new one, and we played quite a bit up and down the coast, and we went to California, went to a trip out there one time, and we had some famous guitar players in the band. The Carnies were kind of like a farm team, like a baseball farm mm-hmm. team for like guitar players that went on to become famous. Like the first Carnies guitar player was just a guy from Raleigh named David Enloe, who was a great player, and he's passed away now, but he's one of my favorite guitar players ever. But after him, we had this guy named Mark Bosch, who went on to, now he plays with Ian Hunter from Mott the Hoople, and they play all over the world. And Andy York was in my band. He's ever since he's left my band, he's played with John Mellencamp. And he's produced the Ian Hunter records. And so, yeah, I've just been like the, you know, training them up, sending them home.
The farm team.
That's right.
That's great. And then...
let's see. So we had the Carnies. And then there was a big break where I just kind of... The Carnies were kind of an extension of the Right Profile. And that just finally, like... just psychically just wore us down from, because we had our record, we had a kind of a big record deal with the Right Profile that was, you know, at the time seemed like a big thing, a lot of money and a lot of just that typical kind of major label thing. And it just didn't work out for various reasons, you know, mainly we wouldn't do what they wanted us to do and they didn't quite see what we see our side of it either. We did get to record with Jim Dickinson in Memphis, and we thought that was a real, you know, coup, because he's like a Southern artist, redneck weirdo, you know, mm-hmm. and who had made, you know, he played on Rolling Stones records and Aretha Franklin records and made Big Star record and Replacements records. And, you know, when Arista agreed to let us record with him, we thought we had fooled them into You know, in fact, he thought there's another guy named Jim Dixon that produced the Birds mm-hmm. records, and Dickinson was sure that Clive Davis thought that he was Jim Dixon. I don't think that was the case.
That's funny.
But that could be.
But Jim Dickinson was like, I think he thinks I'm Jim Dixon from the Birds.
Wow.
Yeah, Dickinson is like, he's passed away now, but he was a notorious oddball and mm-hmm. true musician, but a real storyteller. And for him to come to New York City from Memphis to talk to Clive Davis and convince was like a huge deal for him to like come to the city. Mm-hmm. And he wore like this like burgundy like satin jacket. He just was trying to like he had no patience for like, you know, trying to look slick or anything. So his, you know, we did the stuff that we recorded with him never came out, but the stories that I got from him were worth, you know, they were worth the time with him, you know. So yeah, after that, the Carneys kind of ended. You know, I didn't play with a band for a long time until there was the Pine Tops, and that was years later after I'd played a bunch of solo shows and played around here, but also gone to New York and just played different by myself, you know. But I'd sent a bunch of things to Don Dixon because he's been one of my longtime friends, mm-hmm. supporter, mentor guys, you know. And he came down one day, said, I'm coming to North Carolina tomorrow. You want to record something? And so I kind of hurriedly got some of my friends together, and we recorded three songs in one day that were on that Pine Tops record. And then he came back, I don't know, 7 or 8 months later, and we out in Pofftown, out in my barn in Pofftown, and did the rest of that Pine Tops record out there.
I think that Pine Tops record is the first thing of yours I heard. I still love that record. That one, the
lottery.
You know, Jesus in a good mood. I mean, that thing is like a little gem that has stuck with me for over like a day. I constantly come back to that little, you know how some things stick with you.
I don't know why I had the good judgment to like stop and just not try to make it into more of a song.
Right.
I mean, I think I wrote it. It's like, no, that's it.
So you recently did the music for Angus McLaughlin's.
Yeah, that was, and you worked on it as well, Martha. Martha taught three regular guys how to sing barbershop harmonies.
And had fun.
Yeah.
It was big fun. Yeah. And I sang one of your songs.
Right. Oh, yeah. Now, that's another song that's like just kind of cut off.
Songette.
It is like a songette. But yeah, that Angus and I go to lunch every 4 to 6 weeks whenever he calls me and mm-hmm. you know, bothers me, and we had talked about making the movie for a couple of years, or I'd listened to him talk about trying to get the movie together, and then eventually he asked me if I'd want to do it, and I was game for it, but when it started getting closer to doing it, I was still a little concerned at every point that I was going to get called out, that I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was going to get halfway into it, and they're like, you're not really a composer, are you? Because that's what they would call me on the set.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is Jeffrey Foster, our composer. You're like, really? What? You're like, yeah. So I have to start learning to, like, just accept things like that, you know, and not, like, blow their...
And yet
not
you
blow
were
my
perfect.
Cover, not blow my cover.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't
because
do that.
In the end, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Is what it, and I think it does right. sound good.
It really great. Does.
And I think it, other people could have made equally as cool soundtracks, but I think it, I like what we did. Yeah. And I made a lot of music for it that didn't get in there too, you know, just because he cut. You know, he kept cutting and cutting.
Right.
For about a week or so, he decided he wasn't going to put any music in it. He's like, he just threw up his hands. He's like, I don't think I'm putting anything in here.
Wow.
You know. And he cut some scenes. You know, the scene
right.
with the brothers coming out of the woods. Like, I had a whole song
spent
for that.
All night on that.
Oh, yes. Wow. Were you out
yeah,
there in the cold?
I was there. It was
4 a.m. at
yeah.
20 degrees or whatever.
That was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a whole like other song that maybe I'll use that's like, was like a Bo Diddley-ish T-Rex song, you know, because I wanted like something that wasn't from Yadkinville, you know, that with these foreigners coming in, you know.
Right.
And, but yeah, that was a...
I was going to ask that. What are you doing with that leftover music? Anything?
Well, I don't know. They usually get repurposed somehow, you know, because I'm a green recycling musician, you know. You just need to...
It's your duty.
You don't want to throw it away. And the song that you sang was a song that I'd done for that Arts for Life group,
yeah.
You know, they had a art show, art exhibit out at Sika a couple years ago, where they got kids that were in the hospital, and some of their siblings too that were with them in the hospital, painted pictures. And these are young kids, like I think, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, painted pictures. Then they gave them to musicians, and we were supposed to write music to represent those art pieces. And I picked one piece, and they said, well, that one goes with this other piece. And they were called Sunshine and Nighttime or something like that. And so I had to write these two little pieces. And so one of them is pretty prominent in the movie, and the other one is what you sang.
Wow.
And the one that you sang, I think, does need to be made into a song.
I do
yeah,
too.
Great.
I do too.
Because
it
has
a good song.
It has a good, lively something to it. I mean, it sounds kind of like Sunshine.
Yeah.
So
we should give the backstory. So this song is when she goes to town to get
Krispy Kreme donuts.
But it ended up being some other food, didn't it? Or wasn't
no,
Krispy
it was,
Kreme?
I think she
Krispy
got Krispy Kreme.
She did get Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
But she's coming back in
her pickup truck.
The pickup mm-hmm. truck playing the song on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And it's Jeff's yeah. song and so, Martha. That was one of the coolest moments. I mean, it's like when we...
I know, because I forgot about it, and I'm watching the movie, and I was like, that's me!
It was one of those hit Martha on the shoulder
yeah.
things. It was like, there you guys are.
Sunshine,
wake me from my dreams. out again and playing it in a different way.
The Martha Bassett Show is supported in part by the Elkin Funds of the Winston-Salem Foundation.
I have an old recording, an old four-track that's totally like a, you know, soul song, like a, or like a Paul & Oates song or something, you know.
If you like the Martha Bassett Show podcast, please take the time to rate or review it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I also have always be like more of a folk song too.
You're a star, and you'll go far. Lost without you, burn up fast and pray your last, 'cause I'd be lost without you. You're a cruel star, you're a new star too. Will you bring us back to Earth when you're through? When it's darkest, you're the brightest one. You make the shadows when we run. You're a star, and you'll go far, 'cause I'd be lost without you. Burn up fast, pray your last, 'cause I'd be lost without you. Ooh, it's a strange world, but it's our world.
That was Jeffrey Dean Foster right here in the house. It was fun chatting with him and making some music. And we'll have more of that interview material on future episodes. And let's take a listen to Morning Light. This is a song off the Blue Eyed Betty's new album, Find My Way Out Soon.
Waking up from a sleepless night, watching dawn realign the dark to morning light. Drinking water just to cool my soul, isn't setting things straight, just another way to lose control. Don't lock me down, don't show me round, I can find it on my own. Don't lock me down, don't show me round, I can find it on my own. Being dreamless never felt so right, having courage just to tell you what the other side of dark is like. I breathe it in and hope it lasts always. It's on the tip of my tongue. Just let it out and let him carry on. Sing a lonely song.
Don't lock me down. Don't show me round. I can find it on my own. Don't lock me down. Don't show me round. I can find it on my own. Waking up from a sleepless night, watching dawn realign the dark morning light. I can wait inside my head for days instead of digging me out. Just come on in and put the kettle on and sing a lovely song. Find it on my own. Don't lock me down. Don't show me round. I can find it on my own.
That was Morning Light from the Blue Eyed Betties.
And we are at the end of our podcast. We hope you've had a good time. And remember, wherever you're at, go out and hear some live music.
If you're in Winston-Salem on August 16th, go hear Big Bang Boom at the Ramcat. Also at the Ramcat on August 17th, Unknown Henson.
At our home, the Reeves Theater in Elkin, North Carolina, you can hear Presley with his band Shadowgrass on August 17th. And on August 31st, the Reeves House Band is going to play Woodstock 1969.
And again, we'd like to thank Jeffrey Dean Foster for coming over this week and playing music with us and talking with us.
Good. Let's close out with a little bit of Presley Barker playing the steel guitar rag. This is from his first record, Just 10.
That's our show for today, folks. Thanks to all the musicians for sharing your music. This show was produced by Pat Lawrence with assistance from the Reeves Theater. Our background music today was provided by Russell Kelly.
And as always, a special thanks to our home, the historic Reeves Theater and Cafe in Elkin, North Carolina, a home for music in the heart of the foothills. You can follow the entire Reeves Theater calendar at reevestheater.com and also on Facebook.
Everybody's out there and it's just not working, and it's just like Santa, and he'll walk out and he'll go, you know, I think you should put a capo on the fifth fret. That's what all the kids are doing these days.